I am going to bring on a young lady who has recently joined our Chicago chapter, maybe about 18 months ago. She's been steadily coming, and she would like to share with you her thoughts on how being in the Federation can change lives, change minds. So, Juliet Walker, if you could please unmute yourself and let us hear what you have to say.
Okay, but before I begin, if I can just forewarn you, I have a 5-month-old puppy who was a little angry about being placed where she's placed, and I have a 5-year-old little man running around who may make an appearance, so just forewarn. But everyone, good morning. My name is Juliet Walker, and I am so happy to be here this morning, and I'm here to discuss with you how the National Federation of the Blind changes lives, particularly how it has changed my life. But before I do that, I would like to give you a little history about me. I was born and raised here in the city of Chicago. I am the eldest girl of 5 children. I am a product of the Chicago public school system. I graduated from Chicago State University with my bachelor's degree in elementary education, and I also attended Loyola University, where I received my master's degree in curriculum and instruction. I became a, well, I worked for the Chicago public school system for 21 years until one day I woke up and saw that my world had changed. I woke up one morning and I looked through something that seemed as if I was seeing my world through a glass marble. I had to be rushed to the doctor, where I had to be rushed from that doctor to an ophthalmologist who she looked into my eyes and she saw that something was definitely wrong, but she wasn't quite sure of what it was and she needed a second opinion. I then was taken from the ophthalmologist to a retina specialist, where I sat there for 2 hours and they conducted various different tests and ultrasounds and examinations. And 2 hours later, I received the news that I had become a member of the blind community. And I was, of course, devastated upon hearing this revelation. So the doctor told me that there were 3 things that I could do. And so I'm, maybe trying to look for some kind of semblance of hope. I said, "What are they?" I'm thinking that maybe she's going to say there's a way that she could bring my vision back. And she told me, "No, that's out. That's gone. There's nothing we can do about that." But what I do want you to do is, number one, I hope you didn't drive here. I told her, no, I couldn't see how to drive. And she says, "Well, you know what? You can't drive anymore." So that's number one. Number two, you need to fill out disability paperwork because at this point, I don't see you working anymore. And number three, you need to call a Chicago-based organization because you are in need of rehabilitation. So I'm hearing all of these things. I just went to work the day before, but now you're telling me that all of this stuff has changed. I went to work the day before. I drove. All of these things have changed immediately. So I went into, I mean, I felt so horrible about what had happened to me. So I cried in her office. I went home and I cried. I cried so much that even my youngest sister told me, "Well, maybe if you stop crying so much, you might be able to see." And that's what I said, I doubt that. But I felt like I was living through a nightmare. But the difference between a nightmare is that you wake up and then possibly you could see. I'd open my eyes and I still couldn't. So I did what she told me to do. I called the Chicago-based organization. I stopped driving. When I called the Chicago-based organization, they told me they couldn't help me because I didn't have the necessary paperwork in that they needed in order for them to be able to do things for me. And it would take a while before they could do these things. So I had went into a deep, dark depression over this, and I wanted to see another primary care physician. And you know how they do these surveys, and they ask you these questions. And I asked them honestly, and she says, you know what? You are in a depression. And I'm like, yeah, duh. I mean, as my life, as I knew it, it's changed. It's over. And she says, well, you know what? I think you need to speak to someone. We have a new young lady who just joined us. She's a therapist, and I would like for you to speak with her. Maybe you'll like her. I said, well, you know what? I have nothing to lose. Why not? So I went to her, and we talked, and she told me. She says, well, you know what, Ms. Walker? We're going to get you moving. We're going to get you started because I think we need to figure out how to make things right. And I said, well, I don't know if you can make things right. I just want to make something better. And she says, well, you know what? Let me talk to my professor. He's blind. And he was one of my best professors that I ever had. And I'm saying to myself, a blind professor? I didn't know that. I mean, at this particular point, my expectations of the things that I could do had went just totally down the drain. And I said, a blind professor? I didn't know blind that people who are blind could be professors. And she said, yeah. And I said, at this particular time, the only blind people that I knew were Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder and the gentleman that was on the corner who shook his cup and asked for money. And I'm like, okay, well, I had already kind of ascertained what my life could possibly be like. And I knew I couldn't sing like they could, but maybe I could go and work something out with this gentleman on the corner. I don't know. And we can shake our cups together or something. But at this point, I had to figure out how to make it to the corner. So she called the gentleman, and we talked. And he says, well, you know what, Ms. Walker? I want you to go to this organization. I think they can help you. They're having a support group on Wednesday for people who have RP. And I said, well, I don't have RP. He said, it doesn't matter. You need to go because they give you support. And that's all you need is support. It's a group of people who are meeting who can't see. And you need to be there with them. So I went. And I met a wonderful group of people there. I got a chance to discuss what was going on with me. I just felt so much better knowing that I wasn't the only one because I felt isolated as if I was the only one that this could ever happen to. So while I was there, I met a young lady who told me she could help me. And she says, we can help you with your independent living skills. We can help you get your job back. We can help you do all, we can help you learn how to move around. We can help you become independent. And I'm like, okay, well, you know what? I have nothing to lose. Please help me. And she did. And while I was there, I met a whole lot of other people who were there seeking the same thing, as well as I met some people who had been blind for most of their lives, and they were coming up and back, and they're taking classes. And there was one particular group that it came in who were students for a Windows 10 class. And we met up in the lunchroom where we were discussing, just talking up and back. And they were talking about the last meeting that they had went to with the National Federation of the Blind. And they were talking about the upcoming convention and how they were excited about this. And they were excited about President Riccobono's speech. And I'm like, who did you say? And they said, yeah, we're talking about the National Federation of the Blind. We meet every first Saturday at Exchequer's pub. You can get a really good meal and learn a whole lot of new information. And so I said, you know what? Can anyone come? And they said, yes. So I went. And from the moment that I stepped through the door and I saw all of these people moving independently and talking, I became inspired. And I'm listening to them and I'm hearing people talk about their new business ventures, the case that they've got to go home and work on. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you have a lot of people here who are doing things that I used to want to try to do and used to want to try to be. And I got inspired. I heard of authors and lawyers and business owners, and I'm like, oh my gosh, these were professional people, a professional person that I used to be. So I got inspired. And from that moment on, my life changed. And now that's my history, but I'm getting ready to get into this how NFB has changed my life. It's changed my life in the following ways. Every time I go to a National Federation of the Blind meeting, I get four things. And these things are inspiration. I then aspire. I get aspiration. And then I move into and figure out new ways to advocate for myself. And then the last one is through traveling. Again, I get inspired by going to these meetings because at one point in time, I didn't think that there was anything else I can do. But then I found out that, you know what? I'm still that same person that I was before this happened to me. I just have to figure out a different way of doing what I did. Then comes the aspiration part, where it made me feel like, you know what? Yes, I can go back to doing what I did, but you know what? I think I might want to do something even greater. I mean, I changed lives before, but I think I can change many more lives. I can be the best me that I can be because I want to live the life that I want. And the third one was the advocacy. The advocacy part was so empowering and enlightening. I found that just you all are very supportive about the things that we go through as people who are visually impaired and blind. And if things are not working out the way that we want them, or if we see that an injustice has been done to us, we can tackle that injustice together. We're very supportive. And if, you know, you found out that whatever the injustice that was done to you and it benefits other people, you can write it up in something called a resolution. And you put your whereas and therefores and all your specialized languages, and we can submit it at the local level where it can be submitted at the national level. And then hopefully it can even be submitted to the Senate where we could possibly change it into a law, as well as the ones that are already being submitted and taken care of. And then finally is the traveling. When this first happened to me, I was afraid to go anywhere. But now I'm on trains, buses, and automobiles, and planes. I had the opportunity to be a part of the convention in Las Vegas. That was my first national convention in Las Vegas last year. And I got there independently. I got home independently. I went through the convention independently. I was so proud to walk amongst all of those white canes and guide dogs and to hear them clacking across the floor and moving from place to place and going to those sessions. I learned so much. I was just so proud to be able to make it there and make it back home by myself. I went to Vegas 13 years ago, and I was fully sighted then. And we got left in Vegas. So I'm like, okay, here I am, a blind individual. But I was able to get there and get back independent. So I think I've gone over my time, but I just want to say, the National Federation of the Blind has changed my life. They've helped to redefine who I was and what I was doing. They helped me to realize that I can still live the life that I want. I just have to do it differently. I am that same person. I didn't lose my mind. I just lost my sight, which I just have to learn how to do things a little differently. So with that being said, God bless you all, and you all have a happy Halloween, and let's have a great rest of the convention. Take care.
Thank you, Juliet. Thank you so much.